McFarland Show with Darren McFarland and Fox 17's Justin McFarland.
Show me the money!
Call or text now. We'd love to hear your thoughts. Call us or send us a text on the WNSR text line. 615-844-5600. 615-844-5600. Call or text. Same number.
Alrighty then.
Now, the McFarland Show with Darren and Justin.
And a happy Thursday and draft day to you, and it is time for the McFarland Show. Darren and Justin here live in the Strike and Spare Family Fun Center studio. 4 hours, 56 minutes, and 23 seconds. 22, 21, 20, 19, 18, 17, 16, until the Chicago Bears are on the clock.
Draft Caleb Williams.
To draft Caleb Williams. We were talking about this after the show yesterday. Should we go to Chicago?
No.
No. There's really nothing to talk about.
Well, they have news of a different type up there. By the way, before we get too far down that path, if you're watching today, you may be wondering if they have adopted a uniform here at WNSR, since somehow Darren and I are wearing the exact same shade of blue, short sleeve, polo shirts today. And no, they have not. They have not adopted a uniform here at WNSR. This is just, random luck of the draw here.
I noticed that I was going to ask the question. Did I miss the meeting?
No.
Well, you don't ever wear blue, so.
Well, I mean, that's true. I do wear blue.
You have a thing about that,
Titans blue, but this is not really Titans blue.
Not really.
Titans,
this is like a royal blue or something, Okay. So.
Did I miss the meeting?
No.
Again, you don't wear this color blue.
Just randomness. Yeah, you don't have.
I can find it.
You probably don't have this in your closet.
Oh, I think I do.
Do you?
Is it sparkly?
Yeah, that's what I figured.
Do you save it for the weekends? Because we've never seen it Monday through Friday.
No. He wears it. It's just, it's got bedazzle on it.
Next time y'all wear blue, let me know so I can wear blue. Dark blue.
Okay.
Blue.
Well, look, you are a part of the show, but this is kind of a McFarland thing, Dave. I'm just saying.
Well, I got old black today.
Yes, you do.
Which, by the way, you've done all week, I think.
Been in mourning.
You really have, yes. Sure. Have you been kind of sad?
I had purple. Well, yeah, I did have dark. Yeah, it's been a sad week.
It's been a sad week.
Right. Okay. It's been sad. I'm sorry.
Well, I mean,
the
Titans haven't even drafted. And you're already sad. What's going on?
I don't need to be sad
personal
already.
Life,
personal stuff.
Oh, okay.
I'm right. Sorry then. All right.
615-844-5600 is the phone line and the text line. You can watch us, as Justin just alluded to, and you can see the Bopsy Twins on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and Twitch.
Wow. It is draft day. It is the day to finally open the gifts under the tree in the NFL draft world. And we're going to have a couple of guys who know football pretty well on the show today before I get to my little spiel. Justin Mello joining us, of course. He covers the draft for a number of publications online, and he's going to be joining us, I believe, in our 3 o'clock hour. Then coming up in a few minutes, Brandon Fisher, the defensive coordinator for your Tennessee State University Tigers. Of course, the son of NFL head coach, or former NFL head coach Jeff Fisher, will be with us in a few minutes to talk about a number of issues regarding football, some on and some off the field. As far as the draft is concerned tonight, Darren, for the last few weeks, you and I have been in lockstep with the fact that the Titans almost have to take an offensive tackle. Despite the temptation to take one of these talented wide receivers, the Titans are drafting 7th. There's been no movement in the first round. I thought for sure somebody would make a move, unless there's been a move in the last couple of hours. There's been no movement at all. No one's traded. Everybody's staying put. So if that's the case, and if everybody's staying put, I believe the Titans will take an offensive tackle in this draft, even though I am now considering that they may not take the offensive tackle everybody thinks that they might. We've all thought that Joe Alt was going to be the first offensive tackle off the board, or at least the offensive tackle the Titans go to. He could still be the first one off the board. He could still be drafted by the Chargers or the Giants or somebody else. However, after listening to some of the experts online, not just random people, listening to people who have some pedigree, some weight behind them, some experience, some numbers, some something, I am leaning towards the fact that they may actually take the kid from Penn State, Olufoshanu. Why would I say such a thing? Darren, the head coach of the Titans is Brian Callahan. What has Brian Callahan said up front about life in the NFL? What is he? And there's something he says about passing. He says the team that passes the best does what?
Wins.
Wins. That has been his philosophy through and through. His father was known for his passing attack in the NFL. He wasn't a ground and pound guy. He threw football. Olufoshinu for Penn State, it has come to light, or if you dig into it a little bit, this is what the guys, now, let me set the stage. Pro Football Focus, we all know what Pro Football Focus is, right? Pro Football Focus is basically the analytics experts there across pro football. They keep track of all kinds of random things. They've introduced all kinds of jargon to the industry here. They are analytic experts. That's what they do. They break down numbers. They look at things. They break down numbers. Listen to what they had to say about Olufoshinu.
Pass protection footwork is just incredible. When he played, I mean, he has one of the best pass blocking profiles we've ever seen at PFF.
Yep.
When you put it into just true pass sets, Foshnu's as good as it gets. Mm-hmm. I looked at it historically. He's up in a similar range with guys like Ronnie Stanley, guys like Laramie Tunsil, guys like Zach Tom, who is a fourth round pick for the Packers and has developed into a very good NFL tackle just 2 years into the league. One of the better pass blocking profiles in those ranges. But his run blocking, as you said, the difference from a run blocking grade to pass blocking grade is drastic, and it's way worse than any of those other guys. I like Foshnu quite a bit.
By the way, guy is also one other element. The guy's given up four penalties in his college career.
No, that's pretty
good. Also like a wild. He's never given up more than a. He's never been penalized more than once in a game. So barely gives up any pressure, has the best fluid movement skills of any offensive tackle I can remember hitting the league since at least Tyron Smith, I would say, which is 2011, right? So he's got all the tools to work with. The pass-protecting tape is absurd. He never gets penalized, and the only downside is his run blocking isn't particularly good, which you can say about half the tackles in the NFL, ones who aren't able to pass block well. So I'm willing to go with that. So, number one, I think he's the best tackle. I also have more concerns about Joe Alt than other people seem to.
Go for it.
I just don't think he's as good as people say he is. Like, it's not... I've seen people sort of speculate this idea of, oh, is he too big? You know, 6'9", and whatever the hell he is.
Like, I think that's actually a fair criticism. It's not easy being 6'9". I mean,
all right, these are the guys from Pro Football
Focus. Who was that?
I would like to know
who was saying all that.
Okay, that's fair. And that's fair. I thought you would ask that question, and I didn't get a chance to grab their names before, and I will. But be that as it may. This football team in the past, there's no way in the world listening to what we just heard would go anywhere near Olufoshinu. The fact that his run-blocking ability is way down and different than his pass-blocking ability, I think there's no way in the world. If this team really wants to throw the football, and I believe that they do, then I really think there is a strong possibility that they go with a better pass-blocking offensive tackle. And we've heard over and over again here a little bit from several different people, and we'll hear more, that Joe Alt may not be that strong when it comes to pass-blocking. If this team wants to run the football, I think Joe Alt is the guy they would have drafted for the last 25 years, stone cold, throw it away. Now, in this new era of football, I'm teetering. I think they really might bypass Joe Alt for Olufoshinu. I'm not ready to call it and say it's going to happen, lock it in. I just think it's a much stronger possibility that he could be higher on their draft board than some people give it credit for.
That's interesting. Again, I'd like to know who's saying that. Not that it changes anything, but I just like to know who's...
No, why wouldn't you?
Because we talked yesterday about Greg Cosell, right, and some of the comments he's made.
It matters who says it. It does.
This is a guy that watches film for a living, year-round. That matters to me. A guy that watches film on players year-round. And I'm looking forward to talking to Justin Mello in the second hour. We'll bring up some of these things that people are saying just to get a different perspective. And, you know, we talked about it yesterday. Greg Cosell, I've seen on X that he has said, you know, he does not like Joe Walton as much as everybody else does. And that's interesting to me, for me to hear whoever was saying that. I kind of felt like I recognized the voice, but I couldn't put it together. But that was, he sounds like he was along the same lines.
That was Sam Motson and Steve Palazzo.
Okay. I know those names associated with Pro Football Focus, especially Steve Palazzo, but yeah. I haven't talked to them enough or heard them enough to recognize their voices. So those guys are probably deep in the weeds with Pro Football Focus.
Yeah, I'll look up the bios. But you asked a fair question, and I knew you would get to it, so go for it. I think
what's interesting is, okay, you know, if I were to say, well, why is everybody picking Joe Walton? Everybody, well, you could say, well, because people miss on draft picks all the time. And I'm like, yeah, okay, you're right. Like Todd McShay and Mel Kiper have been doing this forever, especially Mel Kiper.
Oh, boy.
And if anyone ever did a documentary on his picks prior to the draft and then played out the draft year after year after year, you'd be like, how in the world is he trotted out there as their draft expert every year?
Absolutely.
Like, Mel Kiper is so wrong all the time. Way off.
All the time.
He's been doing it for decades. And I'm not saying he's not good at what he does, but he is so wrong all the time. Like, way off.
Yeah.
But I guess I'm leaning more towards, why is it here locally? The reason I say here locally is because everyone's been listening to Brian Callahan's words. Everybody knows Brian Callahan's philosophies, what you just said. So why isn't anyone else connecting that dot? Because everybody's trying to be a draft expert. Everybody's reading what everybody else is writing.
Sure.
They're trying to talk to people. Well, if that's the book on Fashanu, that his footwork and he is really good in pass protecting, but kind of stinks in run blocking. Well, everybody knows Brian Callahan's philosophy.
Yeah.
Then why aren't we talking about Fashanu instead of Joe Walt?
It's a good question.
By the way, those examples, if he's even close to those guys, the list that they put out there, which I kind of hate comparing, but I understand why we do. But my goodness, it's a no-brainer. If he's like Ronnie Stanley, Laramie Tunsil, yes. Yes.
By the way, both these guys you just heard just now, they don't have any pro football or football scouting drafting experience. These guys, and I've looked at both of them, they're both purely analytical guys. They've graduated from technical institute, you know, they are tech, math, you know, guys. That's what they're numbers guys. So if you're looking for nerds, if you're looking for somebody who's been out in the field, like, you know, Mike Martz, yesterday we heard from a true football guy, a guy who's been a longtime assistant, an NFL head coach, a very successful one. Mike Martz is something different. This guy, or these, both of those guys, I've just looked them up, they're nerds. They're pro football analytical experts, numbers people. That's what they do. They've gotten degrees in it. They went to technical colleges, universities. That's who they are. So you can take that for what it is. I'm just saying that you're right. It does matter who says what. It does. So these guys, if they look at numbers, this is what their numbers are telling them. And they both, I will say this, they both have been doing this over 10 years. Where they've been doing these numbers and looking at these types of formulas and things like that. So they didn't start yesterday. They're not a fly-by-night. They've been doing this a long time. Long enough to understand. So as social media has grown, they have grown.
They've grown with social media.
Yes.
Because they have a platform to get their information out there.
Yes. Probably the information they've been gathering for a long time. Yeah.
All right, let's do this. Let's step away. Let's come back and talk with Brandon Fisher, who is the defensive coordinator at Tennessee State. If you remember, TSU on these airwaves, their first game of the season and the first game on these airwaves was in South Bend at Notre Dame this past year.
Yeah,
Eddie George and the Tigers were at Notre Dame, and he was scheming against their offense. He probably watched a little tape on Joe Alt.
I think he did.
So let's talk to him, and we'll get into some other things with him as well. We'll talk to Brandon Fisher next, as you listen to the McFarland Show, WNSR. buyandtow.com. Get cash for junk cars. Do you have a vehicle that's become a problem? You can get cash in your hand today and your vehicle hauled away. They'll buy your vehicle no matter the condition, in your driveway, at your mechanic shop, or even on the side of the road. You can call them at 615-480-6473 or visit buyandtow.com. Get cash in your hand today and your vehicle hauled away. 615-480-6473, buyandtow.com. That's buyandtow.com.
Gas, groceries, utilities, you name it. The price of everything is going up. And if you're stuck in a bad timeshare with rising maintenance fees, the financial burden can be crushing. It is time to get your finances in order and get the real facts about that timeshare that you are stuck in and your options to get rid of it. Chuck McDowell, founder of Wesley Financial Group, has been helping families out of horrible timeshares for over 10 years and has put together a complete timeshare exit information kit that he will send you absolutely free. To date, over 30,000 families have trusted Wesley Financial Group to help them out of financial hardship by getting them out of bad timeshares. Get the facts about how the timeshare industry works and your options for cancellation. Simply call Wesley now for your free timeshare exit kit and see how you can become timeshare free. Call 800-462-3333. That's 800-462-3333. Once again, 800-462-3333.
Some days I cover up because of my moderate to severe plaque psoriasis. Now I'm hitting the road with clearer skin thanks to Skyrizi, Risankizumab Riza, a prescription-only 150 milligram injection for adults who are candidates for systemic or phototherapy. With Skyrizi, 3 out of 4 people achieved 90% clearer skin at 4 months. And Skyrizi is just 4 doses a year after 2 starter doses.
Don't use if allergic to Skyrizi. Serious allergic reactions and an increased risk of infections or a lower ability to fight them may occur. Before treatment, your doctor should check for infection and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms, such as fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, or if you plan to or recently received a vaccine.
Thanks to Skyrizi, there's nothing on my skin, and that means everything. Ask your doctor today about Skyrizi, the number one dermatologist-prescribed biologic in psoriasis. And visit Skyrizi.com or call 1-866-SKYRIZI to learn more.
Hey, if you're looking for a place to catch all the hockey and hoops action this spring, look no further than the Alley Pub in Bellevue. And now here's Samantha to tell you about one of their great weekly specials.
Attention service industry. We want to say cheers to you at the Alley Pub, located at 7040 Highway 70 South in Bellevue. Every Wednesday night, bring a copy of your ABC card or pay stub to receive 20% off of your tab. Only at the Alley Pub, Bellevue's best sports bar and grill.
We're talking to Nick Caserio. I'm not sure how much you're willing to divulge in terms of the trade for Stephon Diggs, but how did that deal go down?
It wasn't something that we necessarily had on the radar. It wasn't necessarily something I think Buffalo was necessarily shopping. At some point, we felt there was an opportunity for us. I think if you look around the league, just teams are more open-minded. In the end, every team has to do what they feel is in their best interest. And in the end, we were able to work out agreeing with stuff and get them on the team.
Jim Rome is here weekdays 11 to 2 on Nashville Sports Radio, WNSR.
Text the Strike and Spare studio now at 615-844-5600. You're listening to The McFarland Show with Darren McFarland and Fox 17's Justin McFarland.
Indeed you are. Gorgeous Thursday afternoon. We appreciate you having us. We're excited to be here. Darren and Justin live in the Strike and Spare Family Fun Center studio. DJ Damon is alongside for the ride. We're rolling along. Round one of the NFL draft in Detroit is tonight, and we're about 4.5 hours away from that getting cranked up. The Titans have the 7th pick in the draft. And to talk about all that and more, we bring in defensive coordinator at TSU. Brandon Fisher is on the line with us. Coach, how we doing?
I'm good. How are you guys?
We're doing fantastic. What is it like the day of the draft? What is it like being in a war room, you know, getting prepared? You've done all this work, and now you're about to make picks. What is today, the day of, like?
It's really cool. And I would say, I mean, if there's anything where the work has already been done, you know, that statement, that applies to the draft more so than anything. You know, you go through a whole week of game planning, and you build this beautiful call sheet and everything. Half the time, after the second series, you've thrown that whole thing out, and you're scrambling. Like, when you the amount of work that goes into stacking a draft board, not only by position, but then taking all positions and restacking them across and assigning grades, it's really cool to see the culmination of, you know, years of work. You know, a scouting department with like 15 to 20 guys, the GM, the collaboration between the personnel side, the coaching side, you know, those hours and hours and hours of meetings. And then, you know, you build this beautiful board. And I mean, I'm trying to describe this for, you know, people that haven't been in a war room, but I mean, you have a board that is nothing but magnetic walls, and it is top to bottom with these little name tags and their pictures. And then you get to sit there and watch them come off. And it's really cool. And sometimes your draft board comes off exactly how it was supposed to. And then you'll see a team that you got a guy down here in the third round and somebody takes him with the 20th overall pick. And it's like, oh, wait, did we miss something or did they miss something? And then the chaos that goes around with it. You know, you start getting closer and those phones start ringing and people start asking questions and wanting to trade up, trade back. And it's a very, very cool experience.
That is interesting how you say that, because that's got to be a weird dynamic, because I have scouting friends and I always talk to them before a draft and I always talk to them after a draft and find out, you know, where did you have so-and-so? And it is really interesting to hear, you know, like, okay, this guy went in the second round. Well, where did you guys have him? Well, we didn't have him till the fourth round on our board. You know, or, yeah. You know, it can flip just the opposite way. It is interesting how 32 teams can, you know, get in rooms with their people and everybody just have a different assessment. Or, I mean, I've even had conversations, Brandon, with, you know, scouting friends of mine that because of, as you know, the other part of the character and stuff that they say in individual meetings where a guy goes, let's say, second day, mid, you know, mid to late third round, and I say, well, where did you guys have him? Was it around there? And they're like, no, we had him as a UFA. We weren't, you know, we weren't even going to draft him. We wouldn't have wasted a draft pick on him. And I was like, wow.
The great thing is that ultimately, like, you still don't get to judge it for another 2 to 3 years.
Right.
You know, and, you know, it's crazy. We look at, I don't know what the success rate is on a first round pick in the NFL, but I mean, you hope your first rounders play for 8, 10, 12 years. If you look at it like that, it's below 50%. And, you know, what I'm sitting here in a college game and we're sitting here trying to assign value to a high school kid. And then you have bigger schools that are assigning NIL values to high school kids. And the NFL, with all the resources that they put into it, still can't hit. I mean, of the top 10 picks that go off today, four of them aren't going to make it. Four of them aren't going to be worthy of a top 10 pick. And you think about all the resources that go into it. But there is still a level of purity in the pro game. Like, you know, college football is all about recruiting, Twitter, social media, and all that. That's where you get exposure. In the NFL, it's still an area scout that goes into the university and watches these guys practice, watches their film, and brings them back. And I use the example, I drawn the blank on the name of the Titan safety out of MTSU that just left.
Oh, Kevin Byard.
Yeah. We are day of the draft, and he is not on our draft board. This is with the Rams. He was not on our board because we had an area scout that went in there one day, and, you know, the one day he at MTSU didn't notice the guy, nobody talked about him, and never made it on the draft board. And I think he was like a second round pick, wasn't he?
Third round pick. Yep.
Third round pick. And we're sitting there watching, we watch a safety get pulled off the board, and his coach is like, whoa, 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 we never got to evaluate this guy. Where'd he come from? Well, the area scout went in there, didn't think anything of the guy, didn't make it on any of the lists, never got evaluated, and goes on and drafted in the third round, and, you know, the rest is history. And those, you know, there is still a level of, I want to say purity, but also human error that goes into it. And I think in the last probably, you know, 10 years when you've seen the onset of PFF and all the analytical stuff, you know, those blatantnesses don't happen as much. But I've always loved that human element, that human factor that goes into it.
Mm. So I brought up at the beginning, I teased this segment with you saying, hey, the first game you heard on these airwaves for TSU football was in South Bend against Notre Dame this year. And it was Joe Wolt was, the, of course, the left tackle for the Fighting Irish. And I want to just run some things by you and just get your opinion. Let me just start with when you're preparing, I know you don't necessarily prepare as a defensive coordinator for the left tackle, but you obviously are watching their offense and their tendencies and what they're doing, and things jump out at you, or you're watching things. So when you were watching tape on Notre Dame and you saw their left tackle and the size of him and preparing for your game against them, what stood out to you about Joe Alt?
It was the length across the board. Every single one of them is 6'6", 6'7", long armed and well put together, and just seeing the massive size of every single one of them. And it's big people, long arm people are really hard to get around regardless of how athletic they are. That's where I knew our disadvantage was going to come, was just because of it, just because of the length they have up front. I'll say the other side of it, the difference that I would say between like that Notre Dame front and then some of the SEC fronts, they were big, they were pretty, but they lacked the nastiness that, some of the, you watch Alabama, Georgia, there's a grimy, nasty finish, where guys are laying on top of you and putting their forearm in the back of your helmet and that stuff. That's one thing I said that they lack. If they had that to go with the measurables, it was really going to be a problem. But, maybe that's part of just the classic Notre Dame. I don't want to say dirty, but what I'm getting at.
Sure,
but,
yeah.
Just overall as a player, we have not seen anything like it. And I'll actually tell you guys a really cool story. So Coach George's son, Eric, mm-hmm. We rotate our D lineman. He's our backup DN. So play 10 of the game, he goes in, and he's playing our right end spot, so he's rushing against him, I guess, all. And I told Coach George on the headset, hey, Coach, 844's in. Oh, and he went from a coach to a dad in an instant. And first play, Eric beats him on an up and under, and a quarterback's down at the line of scrimmage. And they still have not changed that to a sack, because no game in college football is a sack. So Eric George's first play in college football as a true freshman,
wow,
is at Notre Dame, and he has a sack against what's going to be a top five pick.
Wow. That is one, that's a great story. And two, I got to be honest, we both perked up. And for people watching on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, or Twitch, you could see that. We played a clip yesterday, Coach, of Mike Martz.
Yeah.
Who was talking about Joe Alt. And it was about a minute long clip. Mm-hmm. And I literally, when we got done, I said to Justin, I said, you know what that sounds like to me? This is just my interpretation of what Mike Martz just said about Joe Alt. I was like, it seems like he doesn't think this guy is very nasty. I kind of feel like a left tackle, a guy needs to be mean. I mean, we saw for 23 years in this market, Brad Hopkins, Michael Roos, and Taylor Lewan. Brad Hopkins and Taylor Lewan especially, those dudes were mean. They were nasty in the trenches. And I didn't get that from Mike Martz. And so that's why that was interesting what you said about him and kind of compare him to SEC linemen.
Yeah, there's no question. I mean, it's just that the finish element. Like, I'm more nervous about playing a North Dakota State in our opener next year, because those dudes are nasty. And I mean, I'm going to choose not to use the words that I would use.
No, I got you.
Well, every play is 4 and 5 yards downfield, and finishing on top of the pile, and finishing with a forearm in the back of your helmet, and getting an extra push before you get up. And I think that's what, that's what everybody wants to play with, play for as an O-lineman. That doesn't mean you're not going to be a 10-year franchise left tackle. And I'm gonna go back to bringing back memories, but it was Matthews out of Texas A&M who's still playing, if I'm wrong.
Jake Matthews, yep.
That was the knock on Jake, was that, oh, man, he's just big, he's perfect, but he's just not nasty. He's not dirt. Well, yeah, he's still a franchise tackle. You don't have to be. Your job is to protect the blind side of the quarterback and not get him hit. And, the game is not as much of a flat back power. Everybody still wants to push the pile and impose their will on people, but that doesn't mean you're not going to be a 10 and 15 year Pro Bowler just because you're not, you're not nasty. You don't have that dirt bag to you. But yes, that's what, I mean, especially older school ball coaches. I mean, they're always looking for something to, yeah, everything he does from a pass protection standpoint is flawless. Is he efficient in the run game? Absolutely. Okay, well, where can I poke a hole in his game? He's just not nasty. He's not as nasty as those old school O linemen that, you know, that you still want to coach. So
other people question also his size being that tall. Was he 6'8", 6'9"?
6'8", yeah.
Is that a concern? Would that be a concern for you as a some people are trying to use that as a knock against him. He's actually too big, too tall. What say you?
He bends well. He has no problem getting into a stance. Our rusher, Terrell Allen, who's, you know, back for his senior year, he's going to get a chance. He led the country in sacks and TFLs. And, you know, he beat a lot of tackles over the course of the year last year. And, I mean, this dude's really hard to get around. He's really hard to get around just because how big he was, how long he was. There's certain, in the interior D line, yes, I think there is such a thing as being too tall, you know, too high cut. Maybe even on the interior of the O line, I think you can be too high cut, too long. But as a tackle, he carries it well. He's going to be just fine.
Coach, I wanted to ask you, you mentioned PFF earlier, and one of the people we've been hearing from is Pro Football Focus and some of their, you know, the analyzation of some of these players. And the guys we're hearing from have zero. We talked about Mike Martz. It's tough to have more football experience than Mike Martz. Then we turn around and hear from a couple of guys who've never played a down of football. They went to a technical university. They're math guys. Darren calls them nerds. They've sat behind computer screens. They haven't been out in football fields across America, and they're making these evaluations. How should the fan, how should we look at one versus the other? How should we weigh a guy like Mike Martz, who's got serious heavyweight football credentials, versus a guy who has put in the work, Coach? He just hasn't put in the work the same way and has been watching computer screens and running algorithms.
Yeah, it's. I would say the analytics in itself is just one piece to the pie. But the analytics in the last 5 years, when I was coaching in the NFL, I was as anti-analytics as it comes. I didn't want to hear it. There's no place for it in football. You know, I believe that football is a subjective game that, you know, takes into account 11 different individual matchups with all the different variables that come into play over a course of the game. It's like, man, how can I analyze that? Like, I get baseball. Cool. Moneyball. Great. You can analyze a guy that's got, you know, however many at bats over right hand, left. Great. You know, you draw a bell curve, and from a statistical standpoint, there's something there. Football, I do not see that. But as the PFF and these things have evolved, they're essentially grading just the win-loss percentage based on the play. And, you know, so when you look at it across the whole, across the college football landscape of every single left tackle, because we're doing that in recruiting right now, the first thing we pull up is their PFF, and it's essentially giving you their win-loss percentage. And, man, it is really accurate. You know, you look at now, it's not all-encompassing. I think you're going to make a lot of mistakes when you get too deep into analytics, because, you know, is the guy a scheme fit? What kind of scheme is he playing in there? Well, is it necessarily going to translate into, you know, it at the next level? Look at him, you know, I go back and, you know, my guys, you know, their grades were different against Notre Dame than they are the rest of the FCS schedule. So I just think it's something you have to take everything into account. But the information is very valuable right now, and it's gotten so precise, so exact that I feel like I'm an old soul in a freaking young coach's body. Like, I want to know part of that stuff. And it's gotten me to be a believer in the last couple of years.
Wow, that's very...
It is a starting point. It's the first thing I look at when I look at any of these players. Now, again, there's nothing better than watching the tape, and I think a lot of people use that as an excuse. Hey, I'm just going to use the PFF instead of putting the time in and watching four games, because watching tape takes time. It's hard to do. It's a lot easier to click on a guy's grade and say, well, this is what he is. No, it's one piece to that puzzle, but it's also not a supplement. You know, if you're every coach in the National Football League during their pre-draft process, you typically try to watch four games on a player. Mm. You know, you maybe get one early, one middle, one late, or grab a big win, grab one they lost. You know, you try and get a good sample size. I mean, for me, if we ever had a DB and they played they played Army, they played Navy, they played a triple option team, well, that's the one you're going to watch. Because you're going to find out if they really like football. How do they handle getting cut, getting road graded off the ball? But just overall, it's like you take that PFF and it's one piece to the pie. But ultimately, you got to turn on the tape and watch the tape.
Coach, you said you've been a part of many a draft room, but they've built a draft board. How much of a draft board and the way it's built is based on need? Need of your particular team?
I think it varies. It varies by organization. A lot of times it varies by round. I think any good GM is going to tell you that, hey, if we're building this thing for the future, we're building this thing to sustain, we are going to take the best player overall at every single pick. And you could see how after over a 3, 4, 5 year span, if your board is right, then yeah, that you're going to have a better overall roster because you have drafted simply based on best player overall, regardless of position. Well, it's really easy to say when you're sitting there in the top five and you don't have a quarterback or you don't have a franchise left tackle. So, you know, I think in those earlier rounds, those positions, those players that have a higher hit factor, you don't miss on them. You take more into consideration, okay, what do we need? Where do we have these glaring holes? And I think after you get through whatever that threshold is, first, second round, now you're, hey, overall, if you just consistently take the best player on your board, you're going to have a better roster. And then and you look at it from that standpoint, but you also assign a grade for every single player based on, you know, where they should come off in the round. So you get to the first pick in the fourth round. Well, say you don't have a player whose worth you've said is worthy of that value. That's when, oh, well, I'm going to trade back into the fifth round because there's nobody here that we say is worth an early fourth round pick. So, hey, let's trade down 20 spots. We got a bunch of guys that we said are late fourth, early fifth rounders. Let's trade down, pick up a pick, pick up next year, and get somebody, you know, who's worth that value that we have on their board. So, yeah, it's fascinating.
It really is. I could stay on this for a little while, but we need to switch topics here. And unfortunately, we need to switch to a somber topic at that. When we talk about the young man who lost his life, Shazam Page, of course, they're on your football team, hit by a car a couple of weeks ago, on Gallatin Road. I know, and first of all, Coach, my condolences to you personally, my condolences to the entire TSU family. I know this has been a very, very difficult time dealing with this. How well did you know him, and what has the team been like over the last few days?
You know, I can say the team is healing. The team's not okay, and that's one thing that we have, you know, going through this process, like, it's okay to not be okay. This is supposed to hurt. You know, it's all those feelings that everybody, players, coaches, everybody are feeling. It's going to be okay, but you have to admit that, you know, we're not okay right now. We are hurting, as well, and they should be hurting. Chazon is an incredible kid. You know, he did everything right, and everything as a dad, as a father, as a coach. He's everything that you wanted your son to be. And, you know, I can say Coach George, the leadership that he's shown, helping our team get through this, move forward, because you never get through it, but just helping them move forward has created a locker room that is closer together than we've ever been. And, you know, I think you always look back that, and you don't want to use the term blessing, but what can we take from this moving forward to help carry on, you know, his name, that, hey, this locker room is rallied around him and just the tragedy and everything they've been involved in. It's going to be a very close group. But yeah, it was hard. And, you know, just as a coach, as a dad, I mean, I was on the phone with the guys when it happened, and, you know, being in the emergency room when the doctor came out and said, hey, it's hard. And then just trying to, you know, there's no playbook for this as a coach.
Mm-mm.
You know, how, because you want to be the shoulder for your players. You want to take that bird, but you don't always know how. You don't know the words to, you know, there are no words that are going to help, but, you know, just trying to be support. You know, we've really relied heavily on just, hey, community and fellowship and being together. And every time we're together as players and coaches, you know, people share, people tell stories, and I think you get a little closer to healing. And I can say that his older brother, Bam, who's a D lineman for us, you know, he's back in the weight room today working to carry on his brother's name. So we're healing. We really appreciate you guys, the city, everybody that's been behind us. We're going to heal. So.
Well, thank you for discussing that. It's a very, very sad, sad story indeed. Coach, always appreciate your time. Thanks for doing this.
Thank you.
As always, and we'll talk to you down the road.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
All right, that is TSU defensive coordinator Brandon Fisher, and we do appreciate him joining us and lending his insights here on the McFarland Show. We'll take a break. We're wide open the rest of the hour. 615-844-5600 is how you get in touch here on WNSR.
The Locksmith Company, our full-service locksmithing expert, is proudly saluting our first responders. Their tireless effort should never go unnoticed. This message is brought to you by The Locksmith Company, a proud veteran employer. For all your residential, commercial, or automotive locksmithing needs, call today for a free estimate or 24/7 emergency service at 931-801-5427, 931-801-5427. And also visit the LSCO.com. The Locksmith Company is looking forward to seeing you.
Progressive presents Good News, Bad News, Dumb News, then Great News. Good news. A letter in your mailbox says you could save money bundling your home and auto insurance with Progressive. Bad news. You saw it after your teenager backed the car into the mailbox. Dumb news. A new mailbox, basically a box on a stick, costs up to $400. Great news. You decide to see if you could save money bundling at Progressive.com and go with paperless mail instead. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers not available in all states.
The smarter way to treat your floors. It's time to make the swap. Swiffer Power Mop.
Introducing the new Swiffer Power Mop, the all-in-one tool that gives you a mop and bucket clean in half the time. The solution's built right in, so no heavy bucket, and the pad has hundreds of scrubbing strips to get deep into grout. Don't mop harder, mop smarter.
Swiffer Power Mop.
Cashback is not available on gas in New Jersey and Wisconsin.
Susan, it's so great to finally be able to get together again.
Oh, it sure is. And I really appreciate you picking up the bill.
I'm happy to. I've got the extra cash. Since we've all been driving so much more again, I've been using Upside, the free app that pays you cash back for every gallon of gas you buy.
Wait a minute. Are you saying you actually get paid cash when you buy gas with the Upside app?
Yes, I get real cash back just for buying the gas I was going to buy anyway.
But is it a hassle to use?
No, it's super fast and easy, and I can cash out whenever I want.
That's a total no-brainer. I'm downloading the free Upside app now.
Download the free Upside app now to earn real cash back every time you buy gas. Use promo code LIFT for an extra 25 cents a gallon bonus on your first tank. That's promo code LIFT. You can cash out anytime right to your bank account, to PayPal, or an e-gift card for Amazon and other brands. Just download the free Upside app and use promo code LIFT for a 25 cents a gallon bonus on your first tank. That's code LIFT.
It's a Bill King Show.
Interestingly enough, Jerry Curtis, Adam, I'm sure you saw this, over the past week has committed to Georgia. And depending on the recruiting service, he's either the top-ranked quarterback in his class, and in one of the services, they've got him ranked the top overall player regardless of position.
Weekday mornings beginning at 6 on Sports Radio 560 on 95.9 FM.
Five-state forecast.
Your exclusive National Sports Radio, WNSR, Skyscan forecast. For today, we'll have sun mixing with clouds. High temperature will be 76 degrees. Clouds and an isolated shower tonight, below 56. Friday's going to be mostly cloudy with a chance for a shower or thunderstorm, high 84. Utilizing the resources of the Motherbug Network on National Sports Radio, I'm WNSR's meteorologist, Jim Rinaldi.
Sports Radio, WNSR.
Titans fans, Preds fans, we have you covered. The McFarland Show.
Good stuff from Brandon Fisher. Appreciate him joining us, lending his insights. I thought that was good stuff on Joe Alt, especially considering they played Notre Dame there at the beginning of the season and his preparation for him and what he saw in Joe Alt. Speaking of that, we've got some more people who want to weigh in on Joe Alt.
Yeah, we do. We're going to hear from Greg Cosell. We've mentioned him several times over the last couple of days. He's somebody who just kind of drinks tape, you know, constantly, film and breakdowns, and at every single position, by the way, not just at one position. He's all over the board. This is what he had to say about Joe Alt. By the way, I need to give credit where credit's due. He was speaking to the Philadelphia Eagles podcast folks when he was doing this particular interview. So this is not, you know, I know he does. First of all, he does stuff in every market. So let's not kid ourselves. I know you may see him down at another place somewhere and like, oh, we only got, no, he spreads himself out all over everywhere. But here is Greg Cosell talking to the Philadelphia Eagles organization there about his evaluation of Joe Alt.
And by the way, everything I'm about to say doesn't mean, you know, that he may end up being a great player. I'm just telling you what I saw. I think that he's an athletic finesse tackle more than he is a physical power tackle. Now, in the run game, he is good. There's many run game snaps where you do see strong one-on-one point of attack blocking. No question that there have been many snaps where he controlled defensive ends with core and upper body strength. That does clearly exist on tape. I think he's a guy that plays with excellent body position, clean footwork and leverage in the run game, understands angles. He's got light feet. He's got really good balance. The thing that I kept struggling with, and by the way, I did have this conversation with a very highly respected O-line coach who agreed with me, I don't think that when it came to pass protection, he had a lot of strike power in his hands and throughout his body. And I thought his pass protection approach was more passive than aggressive. Now, again, you can still be a good player like that. It doesn't mean that I think he can't play. I just, you know, to me, that's something over the years I feel you need to strike with your hands. Now, again, I don't know if that can be fixed. I don't know if it can't be fixed. Don't forget, this guy has not been an offensive tackle his whole life. He was a quarterback, believe it or not, when he was younger. He was a tight end. He has not been an offensive tackle since he's 12 years old. I would say that in the run game, he clearly played with more physicality and power generation. And that showed up as the 2023 season progressed.
There is Greg Cosell speaking there about Joe Alt. Again, very much like Mike Martz, Darren, before you speak there, talked about hand placement, more punchy, and power issues as well. He saw the same thing.
Well, he also said the same thing as Brandon Fisher, that you, in other words, you don't have to be nasty to be able to play that position.
That's true.
And survive and do it for a long time. But I don't know. I know the game has changed, and that is another thing to factor in.
Yes.
I mean, it has. It has changed. So, I don't know. I still don't love that. Because here's the deal. I don't really feel like you – that is it. That is your DNA. That is the makeup of you. That's how you're wired. I don't think you can coach that. Remember Ryan Long?
Yeah.
And look, Jim Washburn got the most out of him. He did. But if you remember – Ryan Long and Jim Washburn, if you were at Titans practices, it was very, very spirited. Jim Washburn rode
Jim Washburn
hard.
Jim Washburn wakes up spirited, as you know.
Hard.
But part of that was already Jim just being Jim and coach just being coach.
But
coach
I think he Washburn. Was trying to get that part out of Ryan Long. That's why I'm bringing it up. And obviously Ryan Long flourished under Jim Washburn. He got the most out of him. But I also think it takes a lot of extra work because you're trying to make somebody or create somebody that they're not, right? Because that's not typically what they are. If they don't have tons of mean streaks, it's hard to all of a sudden turn them into somebody who has lots of mean streaks.
Yeah.
Again, that's kind of your makeup. That's your DNA. So I'm a little bit concerned about that with Joe Alt.
Yeah.
But again, it doesn't mean that you can't be an effective left tackle if you're not mean and nasty.
No, I would agree.
All right, we'll come back. We'll wrap up the first hour. Adam, we'll get to you on the other side as you listen to the McFarland Show right here on WNSR.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. 120,000 miles of night drives, daily commutes, and who knows how many.
Are we there yet?
Through countless fixes, elbow grease, and a new radiator, you kept your ride alive. With eBay Motors, you have over 122 million parts to keep it running. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, they'll be the perfect fit every time. Plus, at these prices, well, we're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Your brain is an amazing thing. But as you get older, it naturally begins to change, causing a lack of sharpness or even trouble with recall. Thankfully, the breakthrough in Prevagen helps your brain and actually improves memory. The secret is an ingredient originally discovered in jellyfish. Based on a clinical study of subgroups of individuals who are cognitively normal or mildly impaired, Prevagen has been shown to improve memory. A Pharmacy Times national survey of pharmacists rated Prevagen the number one pharmacist-recommended memory support brand for the fifth year in a row. You can find it in the vitamin aisle in stores everywhere without a prescription. Help your memory. Try Prevagen today. Prevagen. Healthier brain, better life. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Stirring fiber, exercising, frequent trips to the store for more laxatives and fiber. Sounds like your constipation with belly pain is a lot to manage. But if your symptoms that keep coming back are signs of irritable bowel syndrome with constipation, or IBS-C, ask your doctor how Linzess can help you get ahead of it. Linzess linaclotide is a prescription medicine that treats IBS-C in adults. It's not a laxative. It's a once-daily pill that helps you get ahead of your symptoms. It's proven to help you have more frequent and complete bowel movements and helps relieve overall abdominal symptoms, belly pain, discomfort, and bloating. These symptoms were studied in combination, not individually. Do not give Linzess to children less than 2. It may harm them. Do not take Linzess if you have a bowel blockage. Get immediate help if you develop unusual or severe stomach pain, especially with bloody or black stools. The most common side effect is diarrhea, sometimes severe. If it's severe, stop taking Linzess and call your doctor right away. Other side effects include gas, stomach area pain, and swelling. Learn more at Linzess.com or call 1-800-LINZESS.
Hey, Tennessee, Jeff Fisher here. Ready for edge-of-your-seat football action? The Nashville Cats are bringing it to you live.
I'm Eli Gold, and we promise you an electrifying experience with every play. Arena football is back. It's furious and full of fun. Join us for the greatest show on turf. Secure your tickets today at thenashvillecats.com and get ready to cheer for your Nashville Cats.
Atlanta Braves baseball is back, and the battle for a seventh straight division title is officially on.
Stretching the pitch. Swung on, lifted left field. That might get out of here. That's in the bullpen. Home run, Sean Murphy.
Tomorrow night, it's a big interleague matchup at Truist Park in Atlanta as Austin Riley and the Braves take on the Cleveland Guardians.
Pregame coverage begins at 6.05 p.m. live on WNSR, Nashville Sports Radio.
You're listening to The McFarland Show live on WNSR, Nashville Sports Radio.
More draft talk with Justin Mello to be in the second hour of the program. Let's talk to Adam, who's been waiting patiently. Adam, what's up?
What's up, buddy? Hey, so tonight's the night, man. Everybody's kind of going back and forth. I like Joe Alt, but I don't want him. I want Brock Bowers, I want to trade back, if we can, recoup the Levis collateral that we had to give up. And that this is best case scenario. It's never going to happen. Bowers liable to go off the board before he even pick. He's a good player. I think people are being quiet about how much they love him. But can you imagine, dude, you've heard it a million times. A good tight end is a young quarterback's best friend. Can you imagine how bad Marcus would have been had he not had Delanie Walker? That's what I think of. He would have been the Jags quarterback. Who was the Jags quarterback there for a minute, like the laughing stock?
Blaine Gabbert?
Gabbert. That's the word I was looking for. Well, they had a slew of them, right? He would have been a Jags quarterback.
I was going to say, which one?
Without Delanie. So, and just imagine Levis having Delanie Walker. Like, that would shore up so many problems on this offense. And not to say that, like, everything always gets compared to Mahomes, but, like, he would not be a Super Bowl champion if he didn't have his tight end. And, like, just think of it, man. Just because we have Chig, and Chig's got a lot of unnecessary pressure on him anyway, but, like, just because Chig isn't Anthony Firkser, you think you're okay at tight end, you are not. This dude is not good. Just because he's better than Firkser, he is not good, dude. He's done nothing. So I would just – if he's there, dude, I would find a way to get Brock Bowers and make him a Titan. Like, especially when you have a player who publicly says, oh, I would like to go to this place, which what else is he going to say, dude? He's not going to – they're never going to come out and say, I don't want to go there, you know, unless you're Eli Manning, but that's it. But, like, other than that, most guys are going to act right in that scenario. So, but I would love Brock Bowers to be a Titan tonight, buddy.
Hmm. All right.
There we go.
Adam, that's a pretty strong case. I like it.
I understand.
You definitely would want to trade back.
Yeah.
For sure. Recoup that third round pick.
Yeah.
And something else.
And you still need your offensive tackle.
Yeah, you're still going to need that offensive tackle. I know.
That's the problem.
I know. I like it. We've talked about that.
Yeah.
If it wasn't for that big, giant, gaping hole, it would be Brock Bowers all day long.
You could open up a variety of situations.
Yeah.
But that's not where we are.
We'll ask Justin Mello about Brock Bowers and a lot of other players. We'll do that next to begin the second hour of the McFarland Show, WNSR.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. The Supreme Court taking up presidential immunity in the federal January 6 case against Donald Trump, a decision that will impact the trial and other criminal cases that Trump is facing. Justices focusing on whether Trump or any president should have absolute immunity for official acts carried out in office. ABC's Jonathan Carl on the stakes.
If the Supreme Court does not act quickly on this and resolve it in such a way that allows the case to go forward, the trial itself to go forward, I do not think you will see this case happen before the presidential election, and perhaps never.
In New York City, court resumed in the hush money trial of Donald Trump. Today, defense attorneys began cross-examination of former National Enquirer owner and prosecution witness David Pecker. The Pentagon confirmed U.S. military personnel off the coast of Gaza have started construction of the temporary floating pier to help boost aid into Gaza. President Biden pushing for Israel and Hamas to finalize a ceasefire and hostage release deal. This is ABC News.
The Omaha Steaks Spring Sale is the perfect time to get fired up for spring grilling. Head over to omahasteaks.com and save on all your favorites or discover something new. Plus, when you use promo code QUALITY at checkout, you'll get an extra $30 off your order. With 50% site-wide, you're going to want to hurry before the sale ends. Go to omahasteaks.com. Don't forget to use promo code QUALITY to get an extra $30 off at checkout. Minimum order may be required.
Omaha Steaks, America's original butcher.
Offer not valid in all states or where prohibited by law. Loans are subject to lender approval. See website for details.
Honey, the credit card bill came, and we're maxed out.
Maxed out cards, rent is due. We just need some extra cash to help us get by.
Maybe we should go to 27cash.com.
With our bad credit?
27cash.com is one of the largest personal loan networks. They can help people with any type of credit get up to $5,000, and cash can hit our bank account as soon as tomorrow.
When you need extra cash, go to 27cash.com. That's 27cash.com. 27cash.com.
WNSR, Nashville Sports Radio.
Bar Lines at the Omni Nashville Hotel downtown is at the heart of Music City. Located within walking distance of the Country Music Hall of Fame, Bar Lines at the Omni is your downtown honky-tonk destination. Watch your team from any seat on their plentiful HD TVs and catch a live show on the Bar Lines stage featuring live music 7 days a week. Bar Lines has the ultimate Southern comfort food. Get started with classic fried green tomatoes or bourbon barbecue wings. Then it's on to the massive Smashville Double Stack or the world famous Bar Lines Grinder. Oh, you've never heard of the Bar Lines Grinder? Two kinds of cheese, lettuce, Dijon, smoked turkey, smoked bacon, smoked ham. Now that's some smoke you want. Local brews and local spirits are on tap at Bar Lines. Take a seat on the patio outside and soak up the rhythm of Music City. Bar Lines at the Omni Nashville Hotel, Fifth Avenue, downtown.
You can't handle the truth.
It's about to go off.
live from the WNSR Strike and Spare Studios.
Just a bit outside.
Now, back to the McFarland Show with Darren McFarland and Fox 17's Justin McFarland. Call or text now. We'd love to hear your thoughts. Call us or send us a text on the WNSR text line. 615-844-5600. 615-844-5600. Call or text. Same number.
Alrighty then.
Now, the McFarland Show with Darren and Justin.
Second hour on this Thursday afternoon. We are the McFarlands, Darren and Justin, live in the Strike and Spare Family Fun Center studio. 3 hours, 56 minutes, and 30 seconds until the Chicago Bears will be on the clock.
Tick-tock.
5 years ago today, our fine city was turned upside down for 3 days when the NFL draft was here. It was absolute chaos and craziness like I've never seen downtown Nashville. Wow. Hard to believe it's already been 5 years, by
it
the way.
It is hard to believe that. It really is.
Let's bring in our man, Justin Mello, from the Draft Network. Justin, how we doing?
Doing well, guys. It feels like Christmas morning, right? We're a couple hours away, as you said. It's been a long road to get here, but we're finally here, and I can't wait for the festivities to kick off tonight.
Yeah, we're looking forward to doing a show tomorrow and actually talking about players getting drafted rather than who might get drafted. Let me start with something we've been talking, because you know how this works. And we had Brandon Fisher on last hour, who is the defensive coordinator for Tennessee State and, of course, son of Jeff Fisher. And they played Notre Dame to begin their season last year on these airwaves. And so we were talking to him about Joe Walt. And we've played some clips from people, Mike Martz and Greg Cosell and people, you know, they're weighing in on the draft and Joe Walt, and it seems like there's this theme that he's not very nasty. He's not, you know, he's not going to be this real mean, nasty dude. Is that one, do you agree with that? And what are your feelings on it? Do you feel like that position requires you to be that? Like, what are your thoughts on that?
I mean, I don't think he's the nastiest finisher in the class. You know, I do think there are a couple guys with a bit more of a mean streak. You know, I'd probably say J.C. Latham from Alabama is the nastiest finisher in the class.
Hmm.
I think the Oregon State right tackle, Talese Fuaga, has got more of a mean streak demeanor to him. But I think we might be overrating that as well. Like, Joe Alt is a really, really good, technically savvy, athletic blocker. I don't know that he needs to, you know, have this nasty mentality. I mean, look, he's tough. I'm not going to question any offensive lineman's toughness, right? It's the toughest gig in the sport, right? You can't play the position without being tough.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I think a little overrated. I didn't think Peter Skoronski had the toughest, nastiest streak, you know, when I watched him last year, but I thought he was a really good finesse blocker that gets the job done, and I thought he had a good rookie season, and I'd expect something similar from Joe Alt. So, no, I don't think he's the most physical guy in the class, but I do think he's the best guy in the class, and I think that matters more than anything else.
If for some reason Alt goes before 7, would you be okay with Fashanu as next up for the Titans? Because Latham is going to be more on the right side, right? He's going to play on the right side, I would assume. So is Fashanu the next guy up, or what do you think?
I personally would be okay with Fashanu at number 7, although I will say if I were to make a prediction, I think it would be Latham. If it's not Alt, I mean, just look at the tea leaves, right? Some of these really, really plugged in analysts. Look at the mock draft they released this morning. Daniel Jeremiah, Peter Schrager from the Good Morning Football show. They had Latham at number 5 to the Chargers. So playing a hypothetical here, if he doesn't go 5 to the Chargers, I do think there's a good chance that, you know, if you were to pull all 32 teams around the league, I bet you Latham is the consensus number 2 tackle ahead of Olu Fashanu out of Penn State. So if it's not Alt at 7 and they stick there and they want to go tackle, I wager it's Latham instead of Fashanu. And, yeah, I think he's a right tackle. Now, the Titans might not agree. They might think he can play both sides. They might think he's a left. They also said the other day, if you watch their the pre-draft press conference with GM and head coach, they talked about how, you know, right tackle, left tackle nowadays, some of these best edge rushers, the Bosa brothers, you know, they go up against the right tackle anyway. So these guys move around. They may not look at it the way we do. They got holes at both spots. They need a starting left tackle and a starting right tackle in 2024. So if Ault's not there, I don't think, oh, he's a right tackle. I don't think that would stop them from taking Latham.
I mean, the Chargers thing makes sense because every time somebody brings up the Chargers taking Ault, I'm like, Slater's 25 years old. He's a first-round pick playing left tackle. They don't need a left tackle unless I've missed something. They're not looking for a left tackle. I don't know why people keep saying the Chargers are going to draft a left tackle. Did I miss something on Slater?
You did not. No, they've got a franchise bona fide left tackle in Slater. I think we're, you know, you and I've had a difficult time with it too. It's important for us to realize that they might not have the same opinion that we do. And what I mean by that is what we just talked about with Latham. They might think Jawalt's capable of playing right tackle. Now, me personally, I don't like picking a guy in the top five and telling him he's got to play a position he's not most, you know, the most natural position that he's used to playing. I'm not a fan of doing that. That doesn't mean they agree. Doesn't mean you and I are right or wrong. Doesn't mean they're right or wrong, right? It would be to be seen, right? So if they take Jawalt, to me, it's nothing against Slater. To me, it signals right away they're moving him to the right. We've seen other tackles do it. I want to say Penei Sewell, when they drafted him, the Lions a couple years ago at 7 overall, they made him switch sides at the pro level, right? I think he was playing left for Oregon, and they got him on the right now in Detroit. So it happens, right? Like it's a thing. So if they take Jawalt, it's because they think he can play on the right.
We had a very passionate call from a Titans fan to end the last hour, and he was making his case for the Titans to take Brock Bowers, whether it's at 7 or trade back. You know, he was just like, that's your best friend for a young quarterback. And I don't disagree with that, but I think as we've said here on the show for months, like if they didn't have this gigantic crater at tackle, you know, on the left side, and as you said, on the right side too, but I mean, especially at left tackle, you know, then yes, we will be talking more about Brock Bowers. But what do you think about that, and what's your overall assessment about Brock Bowers?
I love having this dialogue with myself about Brock Bowers because I see both sides of it. On one end of the coin, he's one of the best overall players in the NFL draft. There is no question. The way we watched him produce as like a true freshman at Georgia a couple years ago, it's crazy how many of us have forgotten that already. Like, this guy was dominant the moment he got on the field, right? He's one of the best pure players. You want to have the positional argument, and I'm about to make the other side of the argument in a second, but he played 60% of his snaps this past season, 60-plus throughout his career, either as a boundary wide receiver or as a slot. If I told you the Titans might take a slot receiver at number 7, you wouldn't bat an eye, right? But we start batting those eyes when we do it with Brock Bowers because he's got the letters T-E attached in front of his name, right? So that's the positive side of it. On the negative, yes, he is still a tight end. We know that tight ends over this last decade, and it's literally a decade, teams haven't gotten very good value and taken them in the first round. I think there's like one Pro Bowl appearance in the last 10 first-round drafted tight ends. Mm-hmm. On the other side of that, why repeat that Brock Bowers didn't go out there and bust, right? Like those other first-round tackles did. That's on them. That's not on Brock. But we know there hasn't been great value there. The argument that I keep coming back to for the Titans is they need premium talent at premium positions. Okay, they don't have that at some of the most premium positions. They do not have a young premium edge rusher, for example. As we've been talking, they do not have a young premium tackle, and they don't have a young premium wide receiver. We think and hope they've got a young premium quarterback, but the point is this roster needs ascending premium talent at premium positions, and tight end is just not one of those positions.
We had former Titans wide receiver Chris Sanders on the show yesterday, and I said, you know, like, you know, and he went to Ohio State. So I was like, let's just leave Marvin Harrison Jr. out of this. Mm-hmm. And for the sake of this discussion, let's leave Neighbors, Adunze, let's leave them out of it. A couple other receivers that you like. And he said he really liked Ladd McConkey from Georgia. And he also liked Xavier Leggett from South Carolina. He's a big kid. Obviously, I think he's like he weighs the most of any of the receivers out there. If I was to ask you the same question, Justin, where would you go outside of the big boys at the top? Who's a couple of names that you like that maybe are going to still be second round picks or high picks, but they're not, you know, named Marvin Harrison Jr. or Malik Neighbors?
Well, the three that I keep coming back to, and I think they'd all be in play at 38 overall, would be Ladd McConkey. I agree with that assessment. And I would throw in Ricky Pearsall from Florida and Roman Wilson from Michigan. What do all three of them have in common? They're all capable of playing the slot from day one. Okay, we know these guys move around, but if we're writing it in 10, DeAndre Hopkins is your X, Calvin Ridley is your Z. We don't quite know who's playing the slot. And by the way, when they asked Brian Callahan about that a couple weeks ago, he didn't even mention Treylon Burks as a possibility, right? He talked about Kyle Phillips and Nick Westbrook-Ikhine. I think he even mentioned Mason Kinsey, actually. But if they're taking receiver at 38, you have to think it's a guy that's capable of playing the slot. Those three can. Ladd McConkey is my personal favorite of those three. I think you can watch him play. He can move around a lot. He can play a little outside. I think he can play a little Z if it comes down to it. He's an elite separator. He might be the best route runner in this class. I think he'd do a lot of the stuff the Rams have done with, like, Cooper Kupp, where you move him around to get him to avoid press coverage. So I think my biggest concern with him is his, you know, contact bounce and fighting through press. Really hard to get your hands on guys from the slot when you're moving them around, bringing them in motion, pre-snap, yada, yada. But I think you can hide some of his weaknesses, and you know how to hide those. And Callahan did that a lot. And he even did it with Jamar Chase, right, moving him around a ton. So I come back to those three. Roman Wilson, by the way, that's one they had in for a 30 visit, a pre-draft 30. I asked him about that visit. I couldn't believe what he said. He told me that it felt like he was visiting Michigan for the first time again. He goes, it was the chemistry between me and the Titans on that visit, I thought, was outstanding. It really felt like the first time I visited the Michigan campus.
There's been no trades yet, Justin. As a lot of times, you know, there'll be trades sometimes in a couple of days leading up to the draft. There'll be a couple of teams just trying to position themselves. Things have been very quiet on the trade front. Is that a sign of things to come? Do you feel like this will be a quiet trade draft for the NFL?
We'll see how things play out, but as of now, I do think we're going to see a couple. If I was a betting man or I was setting the odds, I'd probably put them around 4.5. You know, I think you've heard a lot of chatter this morning about the Los Angeles Rams wanting to move up. How high can they come? We'll see. They've got some capital, but it's tough when you're picking at 19. I think the Buffalo Bills and Kansas City Chiefs, I mean, those two teams are interesting to me because they're essentially arch rivals at this point. They feel like they're going to meet in the AFC Championship game every year, and they both need a receiver pretty badly. So I imagine one of them is going to try to outbid the other and come up for a guy. I think the Philadelphia Eagles, I've heard for days now that they're I'm predicting that they will come up. I think they're going to come up for a corner. I look at a guy like Kerryon Arnold or Quinion Mitchell. I think Philly's in the market for one of them. I look at the Cowboys as a team that might want to move down from 24, so that's a candidate there. The Steelers, I could see coming up just a couple of picks for a tackle. So I think we're going to see a fair amount of activity. And, of course, there's that fourth quarterback. I'd be stunned if, you know, assuming that's going to be J.J. McCarthy, I don't think someone's just going to draft him where they're currently picking, right? Like, if that's Minnesota, Denver, or Vegas, those are the three favorites for him, I don't think it's going to be at 11, 12, or 13, right? You presume one of them is coming up, whether that's 4, 5, or even as low as 8, maybe, if, you know, they don't think they got to go up that high. So I do think we're going to see about 4 or 5 trades tonight.
Help me with J.J. McCarthy. How did J.J. McCarthy end up a top 10 pick in this draft? Like, what, is it just the fact that the NFL is quarterback hungry? Because I'm just being real with, and listen, Justin, I'm not going to pretend like I do this like you do. I don't. But I don't see it. Just me, my football eye and IQ. I don't see a top 10 pick in J.J. McCarthy. I just don't. I'm not saying he can't be a good quarterback. Well, I'm just not seeing elite when I watch him on an NFL level. So what is happening?
Well, I don't know that I can answer your question because I'm going to be totally blunt and say I largely agree with you. I think, you know, if I had to put myself in those shoes, and we've heard what they like, he's won his entire life dating back to high school. He's barely lost a football game. I have no doubt that he's an extremely smart football player. I think the IQ is off the charts. I think he's genuinely accurate. I think he's generally athletic enough to move out of the pocket and, you know, he's not a statue and do something with his legs or manipulate the pocket as need be. The sticking point for me that I struggle with, and it's essentially what you just said, but I'm going to go a step further. I don't know what he does that's a 10 out of 10. Okay. I know what Drake May does, that's a 10 out of 10. I know what Jaden Daniels does, that's a 10 out of 10. And obviously I know a lot of what Caleb Williams does, that's a 10 out of 10. I don't know what J.J. McCarthy does, that's a 10 out of 10. And I said the same things about two recent quarterback prospects, and I think you'll know where I'm coming from. And, you know, hindsight will tell us, well, they didn't do anything that was a 10 out of 10, and those teams regret it. I didn't think Mac Jones had a physical trait that was a 10 out of 10.
Yeah.
You know, you could say the football IQ.
Yeah.
And I didn't think Kenny Pickett had a physical trait that was a 10 out of 10. Right? The arm strength was just okay. The athleticism was just okay. All of those things were just okay. And Mac Jones and Kenny Pickett are just okay, and that's nicely putting it, potentially even below average quarterback. Both those teams have moved on already. Right? So that's the concern that I have personally with my evaluation on J.J. McCarthy.
But somebody's going to reach. Somebody's going to make the trade.
Yeah.
Someone's going to give up a lot of capital.
I think so. I mean, I'll say this right now. If it's Minnesota, can you dream up a better landing spot for any quarterback? Usually teams are drafting quarterbacks because they are bad. How many teams over the last decade have drafted a quarterback and they've gone to go to Minnesota with a good offensive-minded head coach in Kevin O'Connell, mm-hmm. with presumably Justin Jefferson and Jordan Addison at wide receiver? Let's take it a step further, okay? With T.J. Hockenson at tight end, and if those places were in peace, how many of those teams had bookends at tackles? They've got Brian O'Neill on the right and Christian Darrisaw on the left, and the running game was a disaster last year. They picked up Aaron Jones. It should be better. Like, this is a dream landing spot for any quarterback. So, yeah, I could see J.J. going there and having success. But you heard the saying, trailers versus trucks?
Yeah.
He's not going to carry, right? I don't think he's that type of talent. But he might not have to carry. And if it's Minnesota, they win 10 games next year, I think, with J.J. McCarthy at quarterback. So there are scenarios where he works out. I don't like it in New England where we don't know who's playing tackle. They got a bunch of number 3 and 4 receivers, no 1 or 2. Like, it's going to depend on the landing spot,
as it always does. We don't know anything in New England. Last but not least for me, what's left in free agency after the draft? There's always free agency, oh my goodness, bombshell move. Then there's the draft, oh, look at this guy, oh, they drafted, they've reached, whatever. Then there's the post, draft free agency room where you didn't get what you want in the draft necessarily. Maybe it didn't go the way you thought. Now you're looking around going, okay, who's still out here? And why are they still out here? So give me one or two names that's still out here in the free agency market that may surprise us. That go, well, why are they still available? And when are they going to move?
Well, I'm going to answer your question from a Titans perspective,
right?
Because the safety market is one that's really, really good still, right? I mean, Justin Simmons from the the Broncos is still out there. Jamal Adams, a reclamation project. Marcus May, like, there are a ton of starting caliber. Quandre Diggs, I believe, is out there. There are a ton of starting caliber safeties. Titans flirted with a couple of them. They flirted with both Marcus May and Justin Simmons. I'm surprised one of those hasn't come to fruition yet. They've got a huge hole there opposite Amani Hooker. It's not a very good class in the draft of safeties. So I think once the dust settles on the draft, you'll see a lot of attraction at the safety market. Why are they all still out there? Non-premium position. There's a ton of them, so teams aren't in a rush. I just mentioned 3 or 4, and there's even more of them than that. They'll see what they get in the draft. I expect the safety market to really pick up here in a little bit. And you've also got guys like Odell Beckham Jr. Xavien Howard is still out there. Like, there are a ton of, what do they all have in common? They're 29, they're 30, they've come off an injury.
How much tread is left on the Odell, the Odell Beckham tire? I don't know.
Right, exactly. But they're all going to get picked up soon, right? Like July at the latest, I imagine. And they're all, like, a guy like Justin Simmons got a lot in the tank yet. That's the Titans move. A lot of gas in the tank. That's the Titans move I'd love to see, is Justin Simmons at safety. They had Marcus May in for a visit. They brought him into Nashville. That might have been a medical thing because he's had some injuries, but they've brought in a couple of guys. Andres Pete, they brought in for a visit. That might be a solution at the other tackle spot, right? If they don't get one, they don't get two in this class that they think can play right away. So it's going to be really interesting to see. But Andres Pete and Marcus May, Justin Simmons, those are ones to watch in Tennessee.
Okay.
Those guys aren't signed because it's probably more about the money than how much tread is on their tire. Those guys probably still think they should get paid $15 million a year. And it's like, yeah, no, bro. Odell, your days of being paid, I know Baltimore did it last year, but I mean, I don't know. Although, You know, you see what wide receivers are getting these days yesterday in Detroit.
Yeah.
Like, St. Round's, he's a good receiver. He's really good.
But giving him that much.
Is he $120 million good?
I know he's only 24.
$10 million for Odell. I think 10 gets it done.
Okay.
Maybe a couple, you know, bonuses bring it up to 10. I imagine it's not 15, but I could see Odell getting 10.
Yeah. Good stuff as always, Justin. Really appreciate the visit. Can't wait for things to start tonight, and we will talk to you very soon. Thanks
for
doing this.
Happy draft day, sir.
Yes.
You know where to find me, guys. Appreciate you.
All right. Justin Mello does a fantastic job. The Draft Network, we always appreciate and enjoy our conversations with him. We're wide open the rest of the hour. 615-844-5600 is the phone line and the text line as you listen to The McFarland Show right here on WNSR.
With 13 locations nationally, including Smyrna, Star Leasing Company is a semi-trailer one-stop shop and the perfect place to build a career as a semi-trailer mechanic. Seeking candidates with all levels of experience, Star Leasing Company has a semi-trailer technician trainee program with sign-on and quarterly bonuses and other opportunities such as $1,000 for having a yearly physical. The package also includes 401k with company match, health, dental, and vision insurance, competitive pay with weekly paychecks, and paid holidays and time off. Star Leasing Company, not your typical semi-trailer leasing company. Visit starleasing.com to learn more.
They say health is wealth, and I could not agree more. That's why if you or somebody in your life is living with everyday aches and pains, I want to tell you about Relief Factor. Relief Factor is a daily supplement that helps fight pain naturally. Naturally. Now that's a big deal. Developed by its doctors, Relief Factor's unique formula of ingredients all work together to help support your body's response to inflammation. Instead of masking pain for a couple of hours, Relief Factor actually helps reduce or even eliminate your pain for good. Whether it's neck, back, joint, or muscle pain, if you're looking to feel better, live better, give Relief Factor a try. In 3 weeks, you will know if it's working because you'll feel it. I was sent Relief Factor for me to try. I've been taking it every single day, and I do feel the difference. Go to ReliefFactor.com or call 1-800-4-RELIEF. That's 1-800, the number 4, RELIEF. Save on your first order. Don't let pain tell you how to live. Fight back naturally with Relief Factor. These products and statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. These products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease or condition.
Attention business owners. WNSR has some exciting opportunities for your business to thrive in the dynamic world of sports radio advertising. As the proud home of some of your favorite sports teams like the Atlanta Braves, Memphis Grizzlies, and more, we understand the power of sports in bringing people together and creating a passionate community. We believe that your business can become an integral part of this experience, reaching a diverse and engaged audience. Contact the WNSR sales team for an opportunity to discuss how Nashville's sports radio can elevate your brand to new heights. Whether you're interested in a specific sponsorship package or would like a customized solution, we are here to meet your advertising needs. Call 615-844-1039. 615-844-1039 or email saleswnsr@gmail.com. That's saleswnsr@gmail.com.
Attention, ladies and gentlemen, flight 777 to Funtown with continued service to Wintersville is ready to board. Please make sure you have your new instant game tickets from the Tennessee Lottery in hand, and thank you for choosing game-changing fun.
With chances to win up to $500,000, you'll be flying first class to cash prizes with our new instant games. Hurry to your nearest Tennessee Lottery retailer to get on board today. Only from the Tennessee Lottery. Please play responsibly.
It's the McFarland Show with Darren McFarland and Fox 17's Justin McFarland.
Titans trade for Legarius Sneed. I'm going to give you who he went up against in the 2023 season. Justin Jefferson, arguably the best receiver in the NFL. 2 catches, 14 yards. A.J. Brown in Philadelphia. 1 catch, 4 yards. Stephon Diggs, 1 catch, 3 yards.
The McFarland Show with Darren and Justin on Nashville Sports Radio WNSR.
You're listening live from the Strike and Spare Studios, downtown Music City. It's the McFarland Show.
Three hours, 32 minutes, 55 seconds.
TikTok.
The Bears will be on the clock. The Bears! The Bears!
The Bears!
We've actually talked about this in the last several months, and I know the day that I had, in fact, I can tell you the day. It would have been the very first day of April. It wasn't a joke. I was summoned to jury duty.
Yes.
And I joined you for the second hour, and I was able to listen to because I was leaving, and you had on a guy from Chicago I think you used to work with.
My good friend Marshall
hour.
Harris from CBS Chicago.
And you talked about the stadium.
Yeah.
And I sent you the renderings, and I guess it's now the whole Arlington – was it the Arlington – what is it, the Arlington Yards, or what was it, the other place –
It was
not Arlington.
It's not Arlington.
Why do I have that in my head?
If you hadn't said it.
I know.
It's Arlington Heights. I think it is.
Or is that what it, is that why I have Arlington? Was Arlington right?
I think it's Arlington Heights. But yeah.
Anyway, apparently that's been scrapped, and it's the lakefront, and the renderings of the stadium they put out there is pretty darn impressive, man.
Yeah, it is.
It looks nice.
It is Arlington Heights, by the way.
Okay,
in Chicago, they're in Northern Illinois. So it wasn't Arlington.
No wonder Arlington was in my head.
Arlington Heights.
Because the minute I said it, I was like, oh, wait a minute, that's Texas.
That's Texas, yeah. No, not quite. So here's the deal. Yes, they have decided, and I've listened to quite a bit of coverage on that, you know, being my boyhood team, the Chicago Bears. You know, I still have a passing interest every now and again to see what they're doing. They don't have their funding together, Darren. Mm. So they've made an announcement, but they don't have any fund. They don't have the funding that they really need. They're short a significant amount of money in order to get that project done. So this is not a done deal. This was not a grand announcement. They're getting ready to break ground. None of that. This is just more of a, hey, this is what we're willing to do if we can find the right partners, you know? Mm. That's what that was.
Hint.
Yeah, so they're going to want some public money still to get that done. And in their case, what makes this a little unique is they need state money there in Chicago and Illinois. They're petitioning the governor of the state of Illinois.
Well, that happened here, right?
Yeah, but they didn't do an announcement. So what they didn't do here is hold a press conference at the team headquarters and, you know, and bring out the cheerleaders and release renderings and say, all this can be yours if the state of Tennessee just gives us X amount of dollars. That's not what they did here. Here, they had all of that squared away.
Mm-hmm.
Good to go. And then they made the announcement. So, I mean, and as we know, listen, there's a variety of ways to do this. You know, over the years, you can make the announcement early. You can try to get people excited. The idea, I think, for them is to get people excited and then for the people to try and lobby the governor or the powers that be to say, hey, this looks good to me. We should get this done. Go ahead and give them the money. I think that's what the goal is, to try to get the public on their side to try and persuade the governor's office to hand over the dollars. But this is not a done deal.
Well, they will get it done. Bears football in that city. It's the third largest city in the country.
It is.
They'll figure it out. The NFL will give them money, like the NFL did here.
The NFL will give them $300 million.
The state will give them money. I mean, they just
will.
That's
the sticking point.
They will figure out a way.
Here's the wrinkle, though. The Chicago White Sox are also asking, essentially, for the same money that the Bears are.
They will laugh at the White Sox.
So that's what's going on. And I understand why.
Comparing the Bears
to the White Sox.
To the White Sox in that city.
In that city, yeah.
Is lay down on the floor, kicking, holding your side, crying laughter.
Yes, I understand.
It's absurd to even compare the two.
It's very hard to do so.
And you know what you know.
Better than you can think. But yes, I understand full well.
They
I'm
will
just
figure
saying.
It out. Honestly, the dumbest thing they did, and it's their fault for not being really proactive and ahead of forward thinking. I blame a lot of, you know, whoever was behind the renovation. The renovations on Soldier Field was a waste of money.
The renovations.
That was a waste of money.
Yeah.
That was like $400 million way back then.
And they're still paying on it.
Yeah. Well, I know, because that was a bad decision.
Yeah. They're still paying on it.
Because they weren't forward thinking back then.
They felt like they were between a rock and a hard place.
Dumb.
Then they couldn't do what they wanted to do to Soldier Field because of the limitations that Soldier Field has on it, because it's a historic place and all this other. So they couldn't put a roof on Soldier Field. You know, the Park District, all the powers that be in Washington told them, you can't put a roof on Soldier Field. So now you got an option. Either you're going to move out of Soldier Field to your own place, which they weren't going to do at the time, or you kind of have to have this, you know, unhappy medium where you have to sink a bunch of money into it, and then just bad design. It looks like the aliens moved in. Yes, I was up there a year ago. It's just a waste. It looks bad.
It's a waste. All right. That's enough of our Chicago Bears stadium infomercial.
I'm good.
But it was worthy passing along. No, if you haven't seen, go look for it. The rendering,
nice.
Yeah, it's very nice.
They got a video. It's very nice.
Here is so we've got in our, you know, we've got the TVs on, the draft coverage here in our Strike Bear Family Fun Center studio. 3 hours and 27 minutes until the draft, the Bears are on the clock. Here is something that they put up here on NFL Live. Percentage of first round, this is really interesting. Mm-hmm. Percentage of first round picks to sign their second contract, which is a sticky conversation in this market, because let's be honest, they haven't been very good on second contracts.
No.
And you got to have second contract guys, which means you are having successful draft picks.
Yeah. Jeffrey Simmons, Harold Landry, they're the two right now jumping off that are on their second
contract. And Harold Landry was the second round pick. Big Jeff was the first round. Yeah, there's been a whole lot of first rounds that went and second rounds that went bye-bye. Now, this is going back from 2000.
Okay.
Okay?
Nearly 25 years.
What position do you think has the best success rate of drafting them and getting a second contract out of them?
This is an unfair question because I saw the graphic as well.
Oh, you remember?
Sort of.
Okay.
Center. Like 92%, right?
Center is 92%.
Yeah.
How about that?
Yeah. Center must be fairly easy to evaluate. I mean, I don't know. But what that tells me is when they draft a center, they're pretty confident on what that center is going to be. And 9 times out of 10, they're right because they end up re-signing that center to a second contract.
And the reality is most times, very, very few times, do centers ever go high. They don't want to go first round.
That's true.
Centers go second day.
That's true.
Third day.
Yeah.
Right? Okay, what's next?
Next up was, I believe, was the offensive tackle position. Yeah. Was at 59%, right?
59%.
Yeah. Yeah.
What are you, Rain Man over here? Like that?
No.
They put that graphic up there like an hour ago.
I have good short-term memory.
Wow.
Long-term memory is rough.
You've named them correctly and given the percentages.
Yeah, I may get a little foggy after
what
this.
What time does Judge Wapner come on?
He was canceled 20 years ago. we still have people.
Oh,
sport.
That's right.
I used
a movie reference. Whoops, my bad.
Judge Wapner.
You didn't get that. Rain Man.
Yeah, okay. I didn't see the movie. No.
Never mind.
No. Sorry.
Offensive tackle, 59%. That has not been the case here in Nashville with the Titans.
No.
Isaiah Wilson.
Yeah.
Chance Warmack.
Yeah.
Were two first-round picks. Never saw a second contract.
But
who else?
Warmack was a guard, wasn't he?
He was a guard.
Yeah.
It was a tackle. Okay.
These were tackles.
Let's see. Taylor Lewan did. Obviously.
He did. The right tackle, I'm struggling on that.
Yeah.
I'm struggling on the right tackle thing of people they've
drafted.
And I'm drawing a blank on that. Not to say they haven't, but I'm just not remembering right now.
Okay.
On that one.
What was next?
Next up would be the guard position.
Yeah, yeah. Judge Wapner 5. Judge Wapner 5, yeah.
Now, I don't remember the position. I believe it was in the 40s.
50%.
Okay. So those can be a little bit tougher to get your head around, I imagine, with that.
So now we can say Chance Warmack.
Now we can talk about Chance Warmack and the fact that Chance Warmack, you know.
And then we'll find out if Skoronski is going to be on the good side or the bad side of this little exercise we're doing.
What you're doing, and think about this, though, Darren, if they do draft the offensive tackle tonight in a few hours, what you are setting yourself up for is the fact of having to re-sign both your first-round guard and your first-round offensive tackle within a year of each other.
That's okay. If they're worthy of it, then it's all right.
I mean, it's a good problem to have.
It's a good problem to have.
I'm just saying, at some point down the line, you have to start prepping your salary cap to absorb both of those, you know.
Because you know who's not going to make this the good list on this? That would be Dylan Raidens, second-round pick.
Yeah.
Who's not going to see a second contract.
Here's the other thing. Will Levis was the second round pick. So if you really like Will Levis, the re-sign on him is also going to come up, not in the fifth year, but in the fourth year, because you don't get that fifth year with him. So all of this just needs to, I'm not saying that, talk about premature. We are real premature on this conversation. I'm just saying that I don't know how you're not thinking about that when you're sitting down and look at some of this, because there is a clock, and you know this is how you end up with the salary cap problems, because you have to make hard choices because of the way the schedule lines up.
Linebacker, 48%. Also, here in this little patch, not been a friend to the Titans.
No, Rashad Evans.
Yeah. Rashad Evans was the first-round pick. Akeem Ayers was the second round pick.
Yeah. I liked Akeem. I thought Akeem Ayers was going to be really good.
The guy that just played at West Virginia, went to the Dolphins, played all year.
David Long. Yeah.
What was he, fourth round?
I think so.
So, again, they have not been signing linebackers to a second contract.
No.
Quarterback, 46%.
Well, we all know where that's gone. The last quarterback, and think about this, the last quarterback they drafted that they signed to a second contract was probably Steve McNair.
Yeah. Jake Locker.
How about that?
Jake Locker, Mariota, and
Vince Young.
First-round picks, high first-round picks, quarterbacks, didn't see a second contract
there.
Oof.
No.
Oof. Let that sink in.
Yeah, we're talking about Steve was the last time.
Let that sink
in. They signed a quarterback to a second contract, a quarterback they drafted to a second contract.
Now, on this list, do you know who's the worst position at getting to a second contract?
I saw it, and it's like 2%, and I can't remember the position. No?
No.
It's not that low?
Mm-mm.
Okay, then maybe
27%.
I'm missing it then. Who's that?
Wide receiver.
Well. Huh. You know, that's an interesting thing. I think that is largely because they want so much money, and then I think that's going to change. I think that number's going to go up, Darren. And let me tell you why, because I think the wide receiver evaluation is changing in the NFL now, and I think more teams will start to re-sign their top wide receivers that they drafted versus the numbers seemed astronomical, and they weren't going to pay it. But think about what the Lions have just done. They're a prime example here. The Lions, they drafted this kid and
Saint Brown, fourth round pick,
and now they've already re-signed him. They would be one. I think it's going to happen more than you might think.
Here. Titans, Kendall Wright, first round pick, didn't see a second contract.
No, they
Kenny Britt, signed it. First round pick,
they're not going
to. Didn't see a second contract.
They don't do that.
Corey Davis, fifth pick overall, didn't see a second contract.
They're not going to do that.
No, they don't have. I can't think of. Is there any wide receiver?
Not in the last 25 years.
First of all, that's it for their first round receivers, right?
Yeah, going back to Kevin Dyson.
Kevin Dyson, 98.
Yeah.
Did he see a set? No.
No, he didn't.
Wow. that exercise was a little depressing.
It's a different game back then. No, they don't do that.
3 hours and 19 minutes. All right, we'll take another break. 615-844-5600 is the phone line and the text line as you listen to The McFarland Show here on WNSR.
When was the last time you did something fun with family, friends, coworkers, and clients? What if I told you about a place under one roof that offers affordable entertainment for all ages? That's what you'll find at Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers in Donelson, Hermitage, Tusculum, Hendersonville, and Murfreesboro with bowling, games, food, drink, and entertainment for all ages. Enjoy an enhanced experience in Hendersonville or Murfreesboro where they feature additional fun with bumper cars, laser tag, roller skating, and more. All locations are open 7 days a week, including holidays. Visit online at strikeandspare.com. Strike and Spare, where fun is bowling.
Has someone in your family lost a job recently and now you can't afford your mortgage payment? Or do you have a rental property and your tenants aren't paying you? We can come to the rescue and pay you cash for your home immediately. Yes, sell your home and get cash all over the phone without dealing with real estate agents or having to waste time showing your home to lukewarm buyers. You don't need to lose your house to foreclosure. If you have equity in your home, we'll buy your home and give you cash within days, all in a simple over-the-phone and virtual process. Call now before your situation gets worse. Sell a home you can't afford or just need anymore and get the cash you need today. Call this number now.
Call 800-527-4903. That's 800-527-4903. 800-527-4903. Again, 800-527-4903.
Paid for by Airtime Media.
Have you ever met a single person in your life that enjoys paying taxes? No, no one does. If you can't sleep at night because you have a huge problem with the IRS, I've got some free advice for you. This service is strictly limited to individuals that owe the IRS $10,000 or more in back taxes. And if you qualify, we can guarantee that you won't be writing a big fat check to the IRS, or our services cost you nothing. The first 100 people that call today will get a free tax consultation worth $500. Stop worrying about your IRS problem. We can help you. We promise. Call the tax doctor right now. I mean right now to learn more.
800-649-0142. 800-649-0142. 800-649-0142. That's 800-649-0142.
You enjoy the thrill of gambling, but what happens when it becomes a problem? Whether you want to cut back or quit gambling altogether, the Gambling Clinic has been helping people change their gambling for over two decades. We're here to help, not to judge. The Gambling Clinic is a Tennessee-based clinic offering in-person and telehealth support to help people win back their life. Visit us at thegamblingclinic.com. This project is funded by the Tennessee Department of Mental Health and Substance Abuse Services.
It's JB and the General.
I am in no means a chiseled goddess. God, I don't have a six-pack. I'm not looking like The Rock out here. But goodness gracious, George Niang legitimately has a beer belly out on the floor right now.
Yeah, but so does Jokic. He's the best player in the world.
Well, George Niang is clanking him off the backboard.
Weekdays 9 to 11, live on WNSR.
The McFarland Show, broadcasting live in Rutherford County on 107.9 FM.
So no Predators tonight. Game 3 tomorrow night at Bridgestone Arena.
That's right.
No Braves baseball tonight. Mm. They won in extras last night over the Marlins.
Mm-hmm.
They're off. By the way, we talked about Bryce Harper. He did play last night in Cincinnati, coming off paternity leave. Remember I brought that up?
Yes, you did.
Had their baby. I don't know if I'm supposed to put it out there, but I did anyway.
But you did.
But they put it. They had their baby here in Nashville. He hit a home run last night.
Hey.
And apparently he did that with the birth of his previous child. That was number three.
Yeah.
The one they just had here.
Yeah.
Their daughter, but apparently he's done this. I guess he goes out and hits a home run.
How cool is that?
First game back from paternity leave.
How cool is that? That's cool.
So, no Braves tonight here on WNSR. No Grizzlies because their season's over. Sorry. I didn't mean to go there, but I did. Preds are tomorrow night. And, of course, tonight all the focus will be on the draft. 3 hours and 14 minutes, and we'll find out. I don't believe the Titans are going to trade back. I don't believe that.
No.
You brought up craziness of trades. There is – I've seen prop bets. The props are suggesting, or I guess the betting places are suggesting, that it is going to be wild because the number's pretty high from what I've seen. So they're acting like there could be some chaos in the first round tonight. With trades.
It can happen in flurries with the trades. We know how this goes. Like, it'll be quiet, then all of a sudden one team makes a move, then another team makes a move, then another team makes a move. Same thing with, they call them the runs, you know, where, you know, one offensive tackle, a position, you know, a wide receiver gets drafted, then the next four picks in a row are wide receivers. Because, you know, that it starts this thing where you're afraid that you're going to lose out or whatever it is. So, it gets quiet, then it gets active real fast. The reason why I brought it up to Justin Mello is because I'm a little surprised that we haven't heard something. Typically, you get one or two teams that try to move themselves in position even before the draft begins, and it just hadn't happened. It's been all quiet on all fronts here. It's pretty solidified what the Bears are going to do. Same thing with Washington. Same thing with New England. It gets interesting at four with the Cardinals. That's when the draft really gets started, is at four with the Cardinals. The Cardinals are the team that, you know, could throw a wild card in the whole thing.
Nate on our text line says, Nate from Columbia, do you guys think that there'll be any bachelorette parties planned for Detroit this weekend? I don't think that's really a bachelorette party.
No.
Place.
No, if it is, not the same kind they do in Nashville, I promise you that.
If so, they'll be all layered up because it'll probably be cold.
Yeah, they're not rolling tractors downtown there in Detroit.
Nate, I'm going to say no.
With music.
Boots and hats. A memory that we will always remember.
Oh, yes.
I brought up 5 years ago today. I'll never forget that scene being down there. But, of course, the viral video that not only was big here locally, it went national.
Yeah.
Was the bachelorette party here in town. And, you know, I think
it was us, by the way. It was Fox 17.
Was it Fox 17? Is that where it started?
Yep.
Okay, my bad.
No, it's all good.
I know that. I did not realize that.
No, it was us.
Initiated from you guys.
We ended up with millions of views on that one.
Yeah, that was. And she was like, I didn't know. Nobody said anything about it. What is this draft thing that's going on here? Where are all these people coming from? Nobody told us there's going to be a draft here.
Yeah.
It's like, well, it's been on the books.
Yeah.
It was a surprise.
No.
Hey, so you know. Be on the lookout this weekend. We just announced on Wednesday there's going to be an NFL draft.
That's not what happened.
Yeah,
there were some surprises, but the draft was not one of them. Trust me, there was a lot of things that the NFL did that the city, or at least not all the powers that be in the city, knew was going to happen that happened during the draft.
So who was the reporter? Like, who got that?
Oh, boy.
Who was out roaming that day?
I don't think they're with us anymore. I'm drawing a blank on who it was.
You're talking
remember.
About stumbling upon something.
Yeah. They were dismayed.
Hey, what do you think about it?
They were completely dismayed.
What was the piece? Just bachelorette parties? Or
the
what
piece was reaction to the draft downtown. That was, the whole thing was going down
was
there.
Was about the draft.
Was about the draft.
And
here
was
we
like,
run into
what?
People who don't know anything about the draft. They're just here for the bachelorette party, which, by the way, thousands of people do. All the time. They come here for the bachelorette parties. We are like Las Vegas is the bachelor party of capital of the planet. We are the bachelorette capital of the planet. And there are thousands and thousands of these parties that come here all the time from both near and far. And they're just one of them. And, you know, after all, it is April or May, whenever it was April. You know, people get married around this time of the year. So, you know, if you don't follow football, know anything about football, if that's not your thing, you're coming here expecting, you know, to boot, scoot, and boogie, and all of a sudden now they've shut down the street and they've set up.
There's 450,000 people in the streets.
The biggest stage you've ever seen, and they've shut
wearing
down.
Wearing football jerseys.
Yeah, and everybody's wearing football jerseys. You're thinking to yourself, what is this? And they've stopped all the music, and, you know, it just, the draft was not Nashville's typical vibe. It was not.
You know what I would like? Honestly, I wish you guys could do this or somebody do this. A follow-up piece 5 years later to the bride.
Maybe so. I think we did it a year later, but I don't think we followed up after
you know, that. Because I want to know what happened when she went back home. Because she was everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
Like, everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
Like, when she went, I don't, where were they from? Do you remember?
I don't remember. Because I didn't do the story. It was our station, but I didn't do the story, so I don't remember.
And I know I'm asking you something from 5 years ago.
No, it's fine. Well, we remember things
story.
All the time from way further ago than that. But, no, I don't remember exactly where they were from. I just remember they were extremely upset and disappointed. And they also got they got a lot of hate, and they got a lot of love, too.
She got crushed.
They people came to their defense.
Justin,
they got other
crushed.
People who just absolutely crushed
destroyed them.
Just absolutely, like, annihilated them. But it was different. I'll say this. It was very – what we learned during the NFL draft, real quick before we go to break, is that the NFL fan is not the same thing as country music fan.
No.
So a lot of stores were stocking up, you know, on hats and boots and all that stuff. And the NFL draft fan got here, and they didn't want none of that stuff. They were here for the draft. And so it wasn't quite the same vibe, I think.
And to drink the city dry.
Yeah. Now, the beer people did very well.
Yeah.
But the memorabilia, not so much.
Yeah, I'd love a follow-up. 5 years later.
Yeah.
She's still married? Still live in the same town?
That would be interesting.
You know, it'd be funny if she lived here. That'd be funny.
Doesn't everybody?
All right, we'll take our final break, come back, wrap up Thursday's edition of the McFarland Show here on WNSR.
It's just a few cocktails at happy hour.
There aren't any cops around.
After every game, we always have a few. It's no big deal.
It was just a few drinks. I'm good.
Hey, I can hold my liquor.
I drink and drive all the time.
If you put away some drinks, put away your keys. Fans don't let fans drive drunk.
Brought to you by the Tennessee Highway Safety Office, a division of the Tennessee Department of Safety and Homeland Security.
You know that Big Bargain detergent jug is 80% water, right?
80% water? I thought I was getting a better deal because it's so big.
If you want a better clean, Tide Pods are only 12% water. The rest is pure, concentrated cleaning ingredients.
Ooh, pass me the intercom thingy.
Attention shoppers, if you want a real deal, try Tide Pods.
Don't pay for water. Pay for clean. If it's got to be clean, it's got to be Tide Pods.
Water content based on the leading bargain liquid detergent.
Getting quality employees to fill positions in your company is essential, but finding those people can be a major hassle. Unless you use ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter makes finding quality people a breeze. ZipRecruiter's advanced technology identifies candidates with the right skills, sends you great matches, then you can easily invite them to apply. 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. See for yourself. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/free to try ZipRecruiter for free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free.
We all hear the radio ads about the IRS. They tell you to be afraid, to be scared, and they try to frighten you into calling. I'm not here to do that. Tax Relief Advocates is different. TRA is here to tell you that if you owe money to the IRS, whether it's $5,000, $50,000, or $500,000, we have a solution. It doesn't matter if you're sitting in your car, at work, or with your kids, no matter where you are, call now. 800-617-0239. Don't lose hope. TRA can eliminate or reduce what you owe to the IRS. There is zero risk to you. If we can't reduce your tax debt, then you pay nothing. Our passion is taxes and helping individuals fix their IRS problems. We have a 5-star rating on Google and Yelp and an A+ with the Better Business Bureau. You don't need to be afraid of the IRS any longer. End your tax nightmare today by visiting us online at TRA.com or call 800-617-0239. That's 800-617-0239. Tax Relief Advocates. Real solutions for real people.
And now, Paramount Roofing and Exteriors LLC is proudly saluting our troops and veterans. Their tireless effort should never go unnoticed. This message is brought to you by Paramount Roofing and Exteriors LLC, serving Middle Tennessee. For all your roofing and exterior needs, give the pros a call today at 615-635-1790. 615-635-1790. That's Paramount Roofing and Exteriors LLC. They're professionals who care.
The 2024 Atlanta Braves are on a mission to bring home a 7th straight NL East title and head back to the Fall Classic.
Harris to the warning track. Harris will leap, and he got it! He caught the ball! You have got to be kidding me! Swung on, belt, deep right field, gone!
Listen to the NL East defending champs, the Atlanta Braves, only on WNSR, Nashville Sports Radio.
The McFarland Show. Video streaming live on Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube from the Strike and Spare Studio.
615-844-5600. Sunny on our text line says the Bears stadium renderings are the Raiders' exact stadium now. I thought it was a little bit... That one, I don't know. I haven't been to the Vegas one.
I haven't
But
either.
The entrance, it looked like, was all glass.
Yeah.
Look a is little that, different. Is that what the Vegas is like? The Chicago one looked like it was, the front was all open.
I think I understand.
Open like as in glass.
I think he's saying more of the shape of the stadium, okay. Essentially, and
well, that
some
is,
of the highlights
well,
there.
Well, that's what the Titans.
Yeah.
I mean, everything is going, that's the new
that's
look.
That's the new look right
that's
now.
That's the new dome state. Yeah. How they all used to have the the white, you know,
yeah,
inflated roof, right?
Yeah, gone away from that. Yeah.
All the cookie cutter domes. Yeah. This is the new look.
Used
for
to be
domes.
The Astrodome and then the RCA Dome. They all kind
silver
of the
dome,
same. The silver dome. Yeah,
Minneapolis, you know,
kind of gone away from that.
All the domes look the same. All right, let's play another exercise before we get out of here, real quick.
Okay, sure.
Just this is a little bit different than the draft. Top 10 in yards per route run in 2023 by position. So this is who do you think was the best wide receiver? Best wide receiver, basically in yards per route.
Okay? Tyreek Hill.
One would think.
No. It was not Tyreek Hill. Then Justin Jefferson.
It was actually Justin Jefferson was for Nico Collins.
Nico Collins.
How about that?
Wow, that's impressive.
Brandon Ayuk was third. Now, I'm sure everybody's seen the news. T. Higgins and Brandon Ayuk have requested trades.
Yes.
San Francisco seems to keep going, we're not trading you, but we'll see. Because I've seen stuff here in the last several weeks that the Steelers are very interested in him. Have you seen that?
Yeah, I have. So, I've seen that the Steelers signed him. One random thing, but that turned out not to be true.
False, yeah. Yes. It's very clear the Steelers are going for it this year, right? The other one was Trey Hendrickson has also requested a trade from the Bengals. So the Bengals had two key guys, one on offense, one on defense, saying, I want out of here.
Price tag.
Yep.
T. Higgins is expensive. It's very expensive. I don't know who's going to have who has the cap money and who's going to be willing to give up the draft capital because the asking price is going to be high.
Well, who should go for it but won't is Buffalo. They need a receiver.
They need a receiver real bad. But I don't think they're going to sell the farm to do it. So
Joel, or are you going to lock in Fashanu?
I'm going to go with Joel.
Okay, me too.
Man.
I know. I think that's where they're going.
It's so predictable, but okay. It'll be fun regardless.
Either way, we'll be talking about it tomorrow. Who did the Titans take? Have a great rest of your Thursday. Enjoy the draft. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 2:00.